Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hello, Business Radio X audience. I am so delighted to be with you again another month. We have a really special guest. Today is Travis Dummert, and he is the Senior Vice President, Learning and Development at Jackson Healthcare. Hello.
Hey, Pat. How are you?
I'm doing well. I am so happy that you were able to make time to visit with us today.
My pleasure.
As everybody knows, we are gearing up for LeaderCast Women Conference, which is on October 18th at the Cobb Energy Center. I don't want anybody to forget that. We've got a wonderful lineup, and I'll talk a little bit about that later in the show. But first, Travis, let's talk about you. I've been doing some research on you. I love your statement about your passion to helping people achieve more joy, fulfillment, and success in their lives.
Oh, thank you.
That is so super. Tell me, how are you doing that?
Well, you know, I think it starts with even just defining what joy is. And that was probably one of my life epiphanies, was realizing there's a difference between joy and happiness. And that joy is the idea of being happy regardless of your circumstances.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think doing that means helping people discover how to live life on purpose.
Ah.
And if they're going to live life on purpose and be intentional, then they've got to figure out what the purpose is, first of all. And then second of all is, living consistent with their values and making sure their behaviors line up with what they really care about, not so much what's going on around them.
Yeah.
And so, you know, two ways that we try to do that is even at work, is helping people discover their values and their purpose.
Excellent.
And it got reinforced for me in a big way after I got to Jackson Healthcare. Actually, I learned that commitment in your job actually goes up almost 30% when you gain clarity of your own personal values, whether you know what the company's values are or not. And so a lot of companies spend a lot of time talking about what they value, and we realized, wow, we need to spend some time helping people understand what they value. And that has been kind of a breakthrough. And so we bring everybody in their first month and ask them, you know, how many of you have goals? And most high achieving professional people have some sort of goals, whether they're written down or not. But say, okay, how many of you could write down for me right now your top 3 to 5 core values? And it's maybe 10%. So, all right, well, we're going to fix that right now. And in 45 minutes, they can be crystal clear.
Oh,
so
wow.
Doing things like that, I think, really helps people realize it's not so much about, what's going on, or do I have the right title, or are we winning or losing against our budget, but it's a choice.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, absolutely. So you must feel a lot of gratitude that you can spend time with people helping them figure out their purpose, and then walking in that, and just, you got a better employee just by defining their purpose and what they value. How wonderful.
Absolutely.
So now tell our audience a little bit about your journey and how you got to where you are right now with that wonderful job of helping people find purpose and joy.
Sure. I have to admit, like many people coming through high school, I didn't know what I wanted to do for a living. So, you take a look at the things that you're good at or doing well at, and you think maybe I should pursue those things. And for me, that was probably more math and science than it was other things. So I started out thinking I'd be an engineer, and I liked to figure out how things worked. So I did mechanical engineering. And it was years later that I realized, wow, if you want to be really successful, you need to understand how people work, not just how things work. And so got into the whole idea of more human engineering or psychology, and probably realized I missed the boat a little bit. You know, I've probably studied psychology a lot more than I've studied engineering since college. But that's what led me down the path of really pursuing, okay, how do you get into jobs where you grow people? Pure people businesses, so very strong service sector sort of companies, and eventually into staffing. And then within staffing, eventually saying, wow, the most fulfilling thing that I could do would be to focus on growing people.
Great.
So
great.
That's what led me into learning and development.
That is excellent. Well, you work for a wonderful company. My colleague and I have visited the new site. And let me tell the audience, when you go there, you don't want to go home. It is absolutely gorgeous. Tell us a little bit about the new complex, how that all came about, and really how are you making a difference with learning and development for Jackson Healthcare?
Well, thank you. Jackson Healthcare is an amazing company. I love the company, and I meet people who don't even like their job. They don't like their boss. They work for a different company if they could make a little more money. And it just sort of breaks my heart because it's a great thing to love your company. Well, why? And Jackson Healthcare has this beautiful place to come to work. It is something you should see. You can go online and check it out. But it's really a reflection of the culture. It's a reflection of the values of the founder and his son who run our company. And, the number one core value we have is others first.
I love it.
And so they really believe it's not a reflection of them. It's a reflection of what they want to give us. And so when you come to work there, you will very quickly understand, like, they want you to have beauty and inspiration in your life. And you spend so much time at work.
Yes.
So did it take longer? Did it cost more? Was it more effort? Oh, yes, yes, and yes, and yes, yes, and yes. I mean, more and more. There's so many little investments into creating a place like that. But the returns are immeasurable. And it's... It changes how you feel. It changes how you want to serve your clients, how you treat each other. So it was a very wise move, and I think it's going to pay off for a long time to come.
So talk a little bit about how Jackson Healthcare is organized. I don't think a lot of our viewers understand that.
Yeah, Jackson Healthcare is not generally a public facing brand. It's certainly not a business to consumer brand. It is a company that owns companies. And so we have a portfolio, or what we refer to as the family of Jackson companies. There are 17 different companies, and all of them work in very focused sectors, typically serving hospitals with either a staffing solution or some sort of human capital solution or a technology solution. So our customers tend to know us by our different brands. The public doesn't tend to know us at all. And so, in Atlanta, it's really neat to have the number one best place to work among large employers for several years in a row, and then have somebody say, wait a minute, who is this? I've never even heard of it.
Right.
But anyway, it's also one of the largest private employers in the state of Georgia, and I think is doing a lot of great things for our city and for our state. So little by little, people are getting to know it. But it's unusual in that it's a family of companies.
Yeah. Oh, great. Great. It sounds great. And I understand that you... Recently, you have a number of affinity groups. You have a women's group that you started so recently.
Correct.
Yeah. And so how's that going?
Great. Just, in the last year, we started creating something that other companies do. Mm-hmm. Often they call them resource groups or some sort of employee special interest groups or whatever. We call them associate network groups.
Okay.
And ANGs, we refer to our employees as associates. And so the ANGs, they not only allow us to create special venues for topics of interest among certain members of our campus, but it creates this forum for mixing people. So like the women's network, everyone's welcome.
Yeah.
So we have men and women. Mm-hmm. We have various topics, whether it's leadership or issues that are specific to women. They're an active group. Yesterday, they just had a packed house for a leadership panel and featured a number of our women leaders across our companies. And just seems to be a lot of energy growing behind that group.
Yeah, because at Jackson Healthcare, you educated me that what percent of your staff are women?
70%.
That's right. That's an important point. Yay. let's talk a little bit about what your initiatives are for learning and development for Jackson Healthcare, in that it's a unique sort of conglomerate of companies that you have together. How do you get learning and development across all of those companies? And you have from nurses to all kinds of healthcare professionals and technology folks. What are some of the initiatives that you're working on?
Sure. Well, as far as Jackson Healthcare goes, we have something called Jackson Healthcare University. Mm. And so our corporate team is responsible for JHU. That is where we really focus on the most transferable skills across all the companies. And we believe those transferable skills tend to be professional skills, soft skills, leadership skills. So those are the things that we typically focus on. And then our companies really focus in on what are the functional skills that somebody needs to do their job effectively. And because even some of our companies compete, it doesn't make sense for a central resource to tell them how to sell or how to recruit or how to develop software. So they do those things themselves, and our larger companies have their own learning and development teams. And some of them even do their own specialized programs for soft skills. But what we're really focused on is how do you live out the culture? Mm-hmm. How do you be an effective leader at Jackson Healthcare? And we think that's transferable across any of our businesses.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So it's translating mission and values into understanding how do you be an effective leader or an effective associate. The other thing that we really do and believe in, again, getting back to values and purpose, is how do you grow and develop as a person? And in a strong belief of ours is if you are growing and getting better as a person, it's going to come through in your work. So
right.
We'll do things like a full day workshop on understanding what's your unique value proposition. And again, that's a values inventory. It's taking a look at the experiences you've had in life and figuring out, you know, what is the unique skill set, talents, values, perspective, and passions that you have as a person. Now, how is that showing up in your life? And if that makes you a better husband, wife, friend, neighbor, awesome. And if that's even where it stopped, I think we would say we have fulfilled the goal
right.
of that class, but we know it comes through in how they do their job.
Absolutely. And so basically when people are coming in and they go through the university, so every one of the Jackson Healthcare companies knows that there's some baseline training that has happened, no matter whether you have to go to another organization and get more skill training.
That's right.
But you have that basic value, if you will.
Yes.
Tell me about the leadership part of that.
Sure.
What are the kinds of leadership training that you were doing and how have you seen it manifest itself? In other words, what are some success stories?
Mm. Well, the primary leadership program that we teach all managers across all of our companies is called the Fostering Leaders Program, or FLP. And FLP is built on a curriculum that's simply, how do you have the people who work for you feel cared for and set up for success? If your people feel that you care for them and are vested in helping them be successful, they're unlikely to leave you.
Yeah.
And so we tell them, you don't have to be the greatest leader who's ever been. You don't have to, it's not about charisma. It's not about always casting the biggest vision. It's about helping people actually feel that you care about them.
Right.
And we also teach them that it's really hard to care for others if you don't care for and understand yourself. So the first thing that we teach in that program is a deep dive on you. So the toughest person you'll ever manage. In fact, the most diabolical person you'll ever manage
is yourself.
Is right. you.
Because right.
this person knows how to
yeah.
how to just undercut you,
yeah.
you know, break
yeah.
you down, tell you you're not worth it. They know all your flaws. I love how Andy Stanley says, you are the common denominator in all your worst decisions. And so a heavy focus on helping them understand themselves. And that's things like emotional intelligence and relationship awareness theory. And then we start to migrate into, okay, now how do you engage effectively with others?
Mm.
And that's things like understanding conflict, understanding their unique perspective, talents, and wiring. And then ultimately we talk about concepts like situational leadership. And there's a big heavy message here. Your leadership is not about you.
Yes.
Your leadership is about the people you lead. So that, you know, that's been a wildly effective program. Some of the outcomes, one is, you know, we're seeing people stick with their bosses longer.
Oh.
You know, we want to see ultimately that they do anything. You know, they go through a wall for somebody who cares about them.
Yes.
We see that the relationships across our companies are also stronger. And so people are saying, wow, like I really, really developed some amazing friendships and mentorships and just these important relationships, maybe even outside my company, because one of our Jackson companies might have 10 or 20 people in it. And so they don't get a lot of opportunity to collaborate with other leaders. And this is a forum where they can do that.
And so this is really great because it goes right along with the whole Jackson family. Because when we talk about leaders caring about people and teams staying together, it's like a family.
Yeah.
And so people work better together. They understand each other. They're more effective. So this is really just going right along with the whole value concept that Jackson Healthcare. Tell me a little bit about some of the challenges that you have, because as I said to people, this is the first time in our history that you've got about five generations in the workforce at the same time.
Mm.
And we have had from either spectrums, the millennials to the baby boomers, the biggest effect. You know, at one point the baby boomers were the biggest generation in the workforce. Now we are seeing the millennials come in, and I think there's some X and Z's and whatever else is out there. But the point is that, do you find a challenge with the training of all of this mixture of generations? What's been some of the challenges you've seen?
Well, I don't know that the generational differences has been our biggest challenge. I think it does create some opportunities, and we're learning about the need for keeping the pace high and the purpose in the center of what we do. I think our younger people are very purpose driven, and it might be fair to say that they're impatient, that they don't want to hear that this is going to be a someday thing. It's what are we doing right now? And that's probably fair. I would say they're very tech enabled and savvy, and that's all true. But I still think our biggest challenge with developing leaders is not necessarily the generations, because at the end of the day, the things we find effective for our younger people tend to be effective with our older people, because they love to work on purpose and they love results now and they love experiential learning. So, you know, the younger demands have just made us better. I think the biggest challenge in developing leaders is this desire to put somebody through a training program and have them instantly a better leader. Is just not the way we grow and develop as people. So whether you call it the time or the urgency or the impatience of all of us and the crazy hectic schedules that we keep, growth and development of people happens over time. It's a process. It's a journey. And getting people to embrace that process is a challenge. The leaders need new leaders right now or yesterday. Mm-hmm. And when you've got a young person who's not been through really tough things yet, they're not going to gain a lot of deep wisdom until they do. They can hear about it, read about it. You know, we'll try to put them into some group activities or team building or whatever. But at the end of the day, we say, gosh, you've got to commit to the journey. I love the quote attributed to Aristotle, which is that, you know, we are what we repeatedly do. Excellence then is not an act, but a habit. So we've got to take things that are these leadership skills and the development of people and translate those into, okay, so how are you living out your life? If this is a profound idea and maybe something they pick up from one of our classes, great. Is this something that you're going to practice every day? Where is it on your calendar? Because until you've done it 40, 50, or 100 times, it's not really you. It's you trying something on. You do it 1,000 times? Well, that's you.
Mm-hmm.
You're showing up now with gratitude. Perspective. You want to be an effective listener. It's don't just look at them, like deeply practice every conversation. What was that person thinking? What were they feeling when you were talking to them? What did they care about? And then you realize, wow, this is going to take a while. And so just us having the patience to develop our people is, I think, one of our greatest challenges.
One of the things that we all know is that no matter what we do in terms of technology or anything, people are not going away.
Right.
And so the need for continuous learning and continuously retooling our leadership skills is always going to be with us.
Yes.
And so how do you think about developing for like the next, because you can get stale, right? So everybody knows, oh, ho-hum, we're going to go through this again. So tell me, how do you go about getting new content, new material, and the delivery? Talk a little bit about how do you deliver that training?
Sure. Yeah, we've got a couple of different cycles for how we do that. And I think we're talking about maybe some different things. So, you know, you've got programs, and programs will have a life. you know, maybe that program takes a couple of years to roll it out to get to everybody, and then it kind of goes into maintenance mode and maybe decline. You've got individual courses. Some of those are timeless, but they still can get stale. And then you've got real-time needs. Like, oh my gosh, we have, you know, some complex negotiation that we need to do, or I need to figure out how to do a piece of analysis and I don't know how to use the software.
Yeah.
And so all those require a little bit of a different solution and a different cadence. Most of the JHU content we have was really designed to be instructor-led training. And so we still do classroom training each and every week. It's highly effective. You're spending time with people. But typically the minimum is it takes 2 hours. And some classes are 2 days. Our leadership program is, you know, spread out over 3 months. So I think it's important that you have a different skill set or a different tool set. We've been piloting LinkedIn Learning over the last couple of years. And I think that's an example of a really powerful tool. LeaderCast Now is such a powerful tool where you can take great content and make it available when someone needs it.
Right.
They go into, you know, type in a search, and if I want to hear somebody who's a really strong expert share some key lessons or considerations, things I need to do, they can get that right then. And so that's really expanded our ability to be now, to be fresh. You know, LinkedIn Learning has over 7,000 courses and 200,000 professionally produced videos. So some of it's just scale, and then some of it's focus. And then the other thing that we do that I think everybody hopefully does this is just constantly ask, okay, how do we get better? So every time we run a course, at the end of that, there's going to be a debrief session. We refer to it as the EBIs, even better if.
Oh, I love that.
So not what went wrong. It's what went well.
Uh-huh.
And what would make it even better.
I love that. That's a great concept. So you have various means in which people can learn. On demand classroom which allows people to really be in the moment, get deep with the content and practice it.
Mm-hmm.
And that continuous learning is extremely important. So when we think about, you know, you got 70% of your workforce as women, are you seeing the challenges of women leaders different than men? And if so, how are you addressing that?
Well, I don't know that we have designed for it.
Okay.
You know, I think men and women go through our programs, I would say very much the same. They may take away different things. But I also heard some different things like yesterday in the Women's Network Group leadership panel and just talking about how, challenging it can be for a woman to be assertive without being aggressive. You know, it's finding these balances, overcoming stereotypes, and sort of, just taking initiative when maybe there's a tendency to want to be perfect. There's a struggle to say no when they carry usually more than their fair share of burden at home, whether that's kids or it's parents or it's other responsibilities. You know, it seems that our women leaders just have a disproportionate share of responsibility in all facets of life. And what I have noticed is they tend to want to do it better.
Right.
So very high stand. All of these are good things. So I think some of it is just making sure that they are represented in leadership roles. They're represented in our leadership training, that they're given the opportunity and that they're encouraged and mentored. You know, and that was something that I think they really did for each other yesterday, was having some really strong women stand up and say, you are good enough. You are smart enough. You may even have more emotional intelligence than some of your peers. Like, you need to go get this and, you know, then have all those resources available to do it. I think some of the challenges I personally have had a hard time relating to it. Like, it's been an eye opener for me. And I realized, wow, I was really lucky growing up. My sister and I think were treated pretty much the same and told you can do anything, be anything you want. You just have to work hard. And that's not the case for everybody. And some people have predefined roles, you know, saying you couldn't do that. That's not a place for a lady or whatever, you know. And thankfully, I think most of that is going away. We just try to really reinforce that message and equip them at work.
That is really great that the women are able to get together and talk through and feel like it's a free zone to really talk about their fears. and helping each other to really be courageous. As you know, our theme for LeaderCast Women is taking courage. Mm-hmm. One of the things that we're doing with that on October 18th at the Cobb Energy Center is we are going to have a front-end men's breakfast. And in that breakfast, Jeff Halter, from president of Why Women, is going to talk about and lead a discussion with men about moving from awareness. So to your point, you just weren't aware that other people had
right.
some differences, and then moving to being an ally. So in the presence of perhaps all men or a mix, how do you become an ally for women, right? Mm-hmm. And that's probably pretty easy in your organization, because if you got 70% of it, you got to be, you know, on top of that. And then moving to being an advocate. And it sounds like the fact that Jackson Healthcare is supporting the women's initiative in terms of having that group together mm-hmm. and supporting them is really a huge step in the right direction. Tell me, why is it important for men to be aware, to be an ally, and to be an advocate? How will it make a difference? And how have you seen it personally make a difference?
Mm. Well, again, I feel very fortunate to have been in an environment where that was baked in. You know, it's baked into our culture, you know, even at, I think, a deeper level. At the deepest level, you know, Rick Jackson is really a strong believer that every single person has incredible value just because they are.
Yes.
It doesn't matter who you are or what you are, how you identify. As someone who came up from nothing, literally off the streets of Atlanta, he would say, you know, there is no one beneath me. And so regardless of your gender or your upbringing, how you identify yourself, you have value. You matter. But I think it's so important, at least to start with the awareness that that's not how everyone was raised. It's not how everyone even views themselves. So you have, you know, to become an ally is actually, I think, to come alongside someone and help them realize your gifts. We're terrible. And I think this is men and women. We're terrible at diagnosing our own talents. So if you want to be an advocate for women, you've got to help point out these things and say, wow, do you realize how good you are at that? Do you realize how you carried the room? Do you realize you listen better than I do? And I'm so sorry, but I always feel comfortable with you, and you listen and you ask amazing questions. And so I think the first thing is just helping them identify their incredible talents. And then point to where in leadership are those talents adding value? Because we can look at, ask anybody to think about a leader they most admired and have them identify what are the characteristics. And they're going to say things that informed our leadership program, frankly. They cared about me.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think, you know, from what I understand, If you look at enough data, women disproportionately have higher emotional intelligence than we do.
Yes, we do. I thank you for that. I thank you for being on our show today. If people want to reach out and contact you, how do they do that?
I would just say through LinkedIn. It's the easiest place to find me. You can search my name and or Jackson Healthcare. Check us out there. If you're a purpose-driven, values-oriented person and professional, come to work for us and then come by my office.
That's excellent. That's excellent. So thank you. We very much enjoyed you being on our show. We could just talk forever. You're just very interesting. I got to have you come back.
Thanks, Pat.
Thank you very much, audience. I want to remind everybody that LeaderCast Women is October 18th at the Cobb Energy Center. We have 9 fantastic speakers. Please go check us out on LeaderCast.com and learn all about what we are doing on the 18th of October. Until next month, everybody have a great day. Thank you very much.